Good morning. I really thank the MMC to invite me to speak in this Sunday morning to share the Word of God with you today. And I think CRM started in 2003, so this is the first time that I speak on in a Sunday morning worship service. And so I'm also thanks a lot of people that they expressed that they will pray for me, and I really sense, you know, the power of God, you know, in preparing me in this message. And so let's start with the scriptures in Mark 12 and 28 maybe to 34, and let me read this passage to you. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commands, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dare ask him any more questions. So this is a very interesting passage. And then the teacher of the law asked one question, you know, what is the most important commandment in the whole Old Testament? Well, and you know, those rabbis in Jesus' day, they were working so hard to find summary statement of Old Testament laws and establish their relative importance. And in Mark, you know, it is more on how to inherit eternal life. So in Jesus' day, Jews, you know, to the Jews, the scripture were applied to every area of their life, including all civil matters. So the teacher of the law would give them certain rules that they think those rules are biblical. Like what? You know, like how far you can walk on a Sabbath day. So I heard, you know, in nowadays Israel, so if you go into an elevator on Sunday and you press the button to go to 10th floor, what does it mean? It means you are violating the Sabbath law. So then you were much like, you know, the big brothers watching you, you know, every step, you know, you are being watched. But so what do they do then? You know what? You know, you have to go into an elevator on Sunday, right? Or on Sabbath day to them. So what they invented a way to solve this problem. So they sent the elevator to stop at every floor on Sunday. Or on Sabbath day, so that you don't have to move your finger to press the button. And so if you are not moving your finger, that means you are not doing your work. So the problem is solved. So this is the way, even though in nowadays, you know, in Israel, they still, you know, taking this, you know, into considerations. And so if you say Sunday shopping would definitely not be allowed in those days. And so let's see what the commandment said. You know, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your souls, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself." Well, the Bible look at man as heart, souls, and mind. They are not mutually exclusive, no, but overlapping. So they Together, they demand our love for God to come from one whole person, our every faculties and capacity. Okay? So if you look at it, you know, what is heart? What is our heart? In the Bible, the heart actually refers to the deepest core of our being that control our decisions and our will. And somehow I look at the heart, you know, as more of, you know, a sense of belonging. Okay, right now, where or who your heart belongs to? Well, very definitely, when I have my daughter, Eliana, and very, you know, my heart just poured out to her, you know, when since she was a baby. And or to my wife, you know she is such a special person. So when you talk about my heart, actually you are talking about who your heart belongs to, right? You really belong to God, then you have that kind of love and attachment to the person. So, well, the question is, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, to love your God with all your heart. To love God, you know, with all that you feel that you belong to Him. Not to the world, or not of my house, or my cars, or my job. And then next is, you know, to love your God with all your soul. Okay, so, you know, in here, well, the teacher of the law said, okay, the soul means, you know, understanding. You know, with all, the soul means our more of our emotional aspect. Now, in the Bible, the psalmist said, delight yourself in the Lord. Okay, if you have a proper relationship with God, then you will delight God, the Lord, you know, in your heart. Then you feel that you have joy from Him, okay? Not just doing work, right? And then the mind talk about the understanding, that your mental capacity to make right decision, or even though to understand what is love. And I found that, you know, it's quite, well, as I grow older, I learn more about what is love. I thought I knew what is love, but, you know, when I was young, you know, that kind of love is very superficial, right? Not until you know more about God, then you will understand more about what is love. So with all your mental capacity to understand your love with God, and then the strength means, you know, what you can do all your best to love Him, to love God. So the whole person, you know, is involved in loving God. So it demands our whole person to love Him. What does it mean? It means God deserves our top priority, not our leftover, right? Not our leftover time. Okay, when I have time, I do something for you. I always heard some people say, you know, when I retire, then I maybe serve the Lord, or I can do this or do that. No, you don't have to wait for when you are retired or when the time is available, right? You know, this always that kind of mentality, of leftover time, okay? Leftover wealth, you know, when I have money, then I can give. You know, sometimes God doesn't look at it this way. You know, just look at those that poor widow that gave, you know, 2 pennies. He gave all his that's just the living money, you know, for to her. You know, she doesn't wait until she has more extra money or extra wealth in order to give. He give every penny that he owned to God. And that's what God is looking at, you know, right? So in here, it always said, love God all with all your heart. All means, you know, it's not left over. It's not left over time. It's not left over passions. It's not left over energy or left over opportunities, okay? And and that's, you know, is a challenge to us, that God is supposed to be the top priority in all our lives, in all areas of our life. And then the second thing, he said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in the gospel, it always, neighbor was expanded to anyone who needs help. And last month, I went to a counseling training last month, and the instructor showed us a counseling video to demonstrate the technique. So it was a real counseling session, you know, that I watch. And then the video is about a couple come for counseling, and the couple has a marital problem for over 20 years. The wife was yearning for her husband's love for 20 years, and the husband couldn't or did not know how to give it to her. Well, the wife always felt her husband has more attachment, you know, to her, to his mother than her. Sound familiar, right? I mean, so she always felt that she didn't get attention from her husband. And the wife was at the edge of filing a divorce, but she decided to give counseling a chance to save her marriage. So this couple went to church for a while. And the wife said, you know, when I go to church, the pastor told me, God loves me. But when I come home, my husband doesn't love me. And then after she said that, then she burst into tears heavily, howling in agony. You know, I saw her and then crying. You know, have you seen somebody crying like this, you know, her head, you know, raised and, you know, backward? I can tell you, many of us cry with her in our heart when we watch that video. We can really sense her suffering and her agony in her soul. After I watched that video, then I truly understand why God commands us to love your neighbor as yourself. God knows that we need a physical person to have a loving relationship, flesh and blood, you know. God knows our physical need. It doesn't mean once our spiritual need is fulfilled and we don't need our physical love. Well, God actually is really concerned that, you know, we did, you know, have a physical need in love. And so as that couples, you know, the wife need, her needs of being loved by her husband was ignored and denied for 20 years. Can you imagine that such, you know, suffering, you know, for 20 years? And her husband doesn't understand how to love her. And always she always sees some things or others are more important than her. You know, she was much more be neglected and ignored for 20 years. And she was yearning for love from her husband. Can you tell me, you know, you said, you know, if God loved me, how come when I come home, my husband doesn't love me? It's absolutely hypocrite, you know, if I were the husband, right? And so I truly understand, you know, when God really commands us, love your neighbor. Your neighbor, there are a lot of people, they are yearning for love. There are a lot of people yearning for fellowship. There are a lot of people yearning for care from other people. There are a lot of people, they are yearning for respect and tell me that I am important. And I think that's the meaning when God commands us to love your neighbor, right? And then I think I found that the other great hindrance to love our neighbor as ourselves is prejudice. Well, many of you may not think that you have prejudice, but it does exist. Well, one of my seminary's classmates, his daughter is a teacher. He teaches French. And one day she received a complaint from one of the student's mother, actually a French-speaking mother, and she questioned her qualification as a French teacher. And then the only reason of that is because she has a Chinese last name. And to this parent, to this mother, how can a Chinese can teach French? So her sole reason just because of she has a Chinese last name. And so I wish one day, you know, some of you can teach me to speak Mandarin, you know, since I cannot speak Mandarin. But prejudice exists, you know. I mean, some of you may not agree that you may have some prejudice in you, but I think many of us, you know, more or less have some kind of prejudice. And I think in prejudice, I think the only thing you have to let go is what? You have to let go your ego. Right? Once you let go your ego, I think we can open our arm to embrace all people, no matter what race, color, language they speak, or economical class, or whatever race or religious background, that we can open our arm to embrace every one of them. And then those people, they are yearning for love. Those people, they are yearning for fellowship. Those people, they are yearning for someone to treat them and respect them as a person. So I think the Good Samaritan parables by Jesus is the best illustration about overcoming our prejudice. In that parable, you know, it's out of most of the Jewish expectation, it was a Samaritan to help the Jews who are in need. You know, at that time, those Jews, they despise the Samaritans. You know. So in Jesus' parable, you know, this Samaritan overcome all the racial and religious background and help that person in need. Okay. I think, you know, this, you know, we have to work to overcome our prejudice. And then I think we can have a better relationship with each other in our community and in our church. So these two commandments stand together. Okay. The first one about, you know, that we love God with all our heart and soul and strength. And then, so the first one, without the second one, is absolutely impossible, right? I mean, if you say you love God, but you cannot love the brother that you can see, this is unthinkable, you know, to God's eye. And then nothing in the Bible can truly be obeyed unless these two commandments are truly lived out by us. So we like, sometimes, you know, we like to separate things out. Sometimes we like to compartmentalize all our teachings. We like to divide the Bible into different fragments because it can be easier for us to dissociate with it, right? I mean, sometimes we can separate them. And so this commandment, you know, what does it mean today? Or what does it mean to us? Well, I think I want to leave a several questions for you to go home and think about it. Okay, the number one is this commandment help us to find out or determine our focus of Christian activities, right? I know we are very busy, you know, in church. We do a lot of things. And the question is, how do we spend our sealed or our spiritual energy? I know this is always have that kind of activities versus loving God. Which is more important? Well, I don't mean activities or doing things is bad, but which one is better, right? I mean, in our Christian activities, you know, we have to find some of the focus, right? I mean, what is more important in our Christian life, activities or loving God? So I think in understanding about these two commandments, in our busy Christian activities, and it helps us to sort out our spiritual priority. What is our spiritual priority in life? I think in these two commandments, it clearly tells us what is more important. Well, as Jesus talked to that the teacher of the law, he said, okay, to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifice. Interesting, reply from this teacher of the Lord, right? Loving God is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifice. Loving God is more important than that you are so busy at doing religious activity. Doesn't mean the religious activity is bad. It means loving God is more important than just doing work. So it helps us to set our focus. It helps us to set our priority in our Christian living. What is the most important thing in our Christian life is to love God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind. And then love your neighbor. You can say, I love God and I hate my brothers, right? It's too contradictory. And the next question is, what is our relationship with God supposed to be that we have to look at? Well, as I look at a lot of the problems in the couples, right? Somehow they were neglected. Sometimes, they don't know how to spend a meaningful conversations. It made me think, what is the meaning of marriage supposed to be? Supposed to be a loving relationship, but we seldom feel that. Sometimes all our conversation is, what do we have for dinner tonight? What time you go to pick up the kids? And all this kind of conversation actually is just data transfer, Nothing relate to our emotions. What about if you go home and tell your wife, we are fabulous today? Well, I think your wife will feel something different, right? it's not data transfer. It speak to your heart. It speak about emotions, right? And it's supposed to be the marriage, right? Marriage is not just bread and butter. So it makes us to think, what is our relationship with God supposed to be? It's not all about work. It's about love. It is about love, right? So when we look at this commandment, number one, we can look at it as commandment. And number two, we can see it as a life coach. We see it as a life coach that it directs your life. And in this direction, you will find joy and peace in a relationship with God. And also, you look at it as a discovering process. And also, it's a learning process as we grow in our relationship with God. And I think that's why it's so important for us to learn about these two commandments, to love God and to love others. I think if we can do that, when people come to a church, I don't think they are looking for activities, right? I think they are looking for God. If somebody walk into this church and they don't see God, I don't think whatever activity we do is meaningless, right? People walk into the church, they want to be loved. They want to see God among us. And that's what makes a church so meaningful to them and also to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us these two commandments. It is a summary statement of your great love and your great commandment that you want us to do. And you gave us the focus And you gave us what is the most top priority in our life. And you help us to sort out all our busy activities and to focus on developing our love and our love to others in these two commandments. And may you give us the strength to overcome prejudice that hinder us to embrace other people in our life. And you want us to be true Christians. You want our love to be true. And God, we pray that you gave us the strength and transform us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.